Oh, let's see. Carol, you're standing up. Come here for a minute. Last one standing, okay? All right. I want to teach you a little lesson here, okay? You might be the example. All right. I want to show you something about Carol's connection. Now, he works out there at Gulfstream, right? You make tools. You fabricate tools so other people can do their job and all. You might think he's isolated, but who's seen Carol in the last 2 weeks? You've actually spoken to him. Stand up. No, anywhere. You see him all the time, don't you? Who are you?
We pass in the night.
Come here. Come here. You stand beside him. All right. Who else sees him in 2 weeks?
I saw him.
Every one of y'all. Thank you, Daniel. Y'all didn't see him last Sunday? The Sunday before? Who saw him? Who spoke to him? Come on. What do you know anything about Carol? Come on, the rest of you have seen him in the last 2 weeks. Huh? He likes football. What?
Go Gators.
What? Do you see it's the house of God for everybody?
I do see some orange and blue over here.
Yeah. All right, okay, y'all can sit back down. I wanted to show you this because whether you want to or not, if you want to realize it or not, you have connections. You have influence. You have people in your life that are around you that you connect with. And you do that regularly. And it's a lot bigger group than what you ever have even imagined. Here's my question for you today. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with that connection? Are you maximizing it for the kingdom of God? He's given you so much time on the face of the earth to live, and then time's going to be up. You know, this week I spent a little time thinking about the fact that in not too many months, I'm going to be 60 years old. Praise the Lord. You know what? That's how fast it went by. I will when we get to heaven. We've got connections. Every one of us, as followers of Jesus, we're connected with people. And they're connected with people. And then we get introduced to one another, and these relationships get all balled up, don't they? And we don't know who's talking to whom. How did that person get my phone number? How did they see that picture of me on Facebook? I didn't friend them. How could we be connected? We live in a world now that we have endless possibilities of connections. Yet we probably live more isolated lives when it comes down to the things that really matter than ever before. We're more crowded. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. This is following that great discourse that Jesus and Peter had. But who do you say that I am? And he said, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Verse 24 and 25, and Jesus talks about discipleship. He makes this statement. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone wishes to come after me, to follow me, he must deny himself
and take up his cross, one of the translations says daily, and follow me. All right. Last week I started this follower's cross with you. Now, you've already got this down that you're a connected person. Whether you want to be or not, you're connected. I need to tell you about a dream I had. Had it Thursday night. I dream a lot. And about 9 out of 10 times, my dreams have a spiritual significance. Something the Lord started giving me years ago, and most of it is private, and I don't share it very much. But this one he kind of beat me over the head with this morning, and so I need to share it with you. He speaks through our dreams, and for me, a dream that he underlines is one that I have. And I have a part one, and I wake up in the middle of it, maybe go to the bathroom, get something to drink, come back to bed, and pick up with that dream and continue on. When he does that with me, that's usually, for me, it's an underlining. I want you to hear this. I've got a message for you that is for you, and I want you to hear me clearly. Here's a dream. I'm the leader in the dream of a community center. We have a lot of teenagers and kiddos. Me and Miss Audrey are there in this community center. We're having a great time, and then all of a sudden, shots ring out. I look outside, and they're surrounding us is a gang, all armed to the teeth and all firing off as many rounds as they can. Glass is breaking. The shots are whistling through the building, and already I can see children and young people that are being wounded and killed right before my eyes. I pick up the weapon I had. I don't even know what it was. And I begin firing outside, returning fire. And I'm killing some of them. They're dropping off. And as soon as I started firing back at them, they drag out larger weapons, automatic weapons. And they're firing through there. I mean, it's like a symphony of bullets. People are dropping or being wounded. And I'm just firing as fast as I can go. As fast as I can go. Finally, I run out of ammunition. I look around me. I tell Miss Audrey, I said, drop to the floor. Just lay down flat. So you won't get in the way of any bullets, because everyone else is already down. And about at that time, I hear sirens. The gang disperses, and the police show up. I walk outside and I begin weeping, crying profusely. I'm looking at all the devastation. I'm looking at children. I'm looking at young people, adults, dead. Dead inside, all people that I knew, dead, wounded. And look outside, and there's dead gang members all over the place. It's a graphic dream, very graphic. I mean, I usually have very plain dreams, but not quite this graphic. The police captain or leader, lieutenant, whoever it is, he walks up to me and he begins to ask me, and he puts on this face like he cares, I said. And I'm just weeping. I said, Where have you been? You didn't hear all of this? This has been going on for a while. Where have you been? And he started to give me an answer at that very moment. God spoke to me and said, he's on the take. He's been paid off. I walked away weeping over that. And I woke up. The Lord gave me a few things that, as He usually does, when I wake up about a dream. And listen, I'm not advocating for you to become an amateur dream interpreter, okay? That can be a very dangerous thing to do. You need the cover, the authority of others who walk with the Lord, and you don't need to take something willy-nilly just because you think that's what it is. But after counsel with others in my life that I, from time to time, that I trust and have trusted over years in my life, not something that just began, over years in my life, I believe the Lord gave me the interpretation of that dream. Here it is. We're in a battle. Every day. The forces of evil are out there. And they have deceived. The evil one has deceived many, many people. I.e. the gang members. Because you see, I was weeping over the gang members as much as I was weeping over the people that I knew personally. There's a battle going on. But God has put in our hands weapons of warfare. And it may seem like the evil one and his forces are going to overtake us. It may seem like they have bigger weapons and I think many times, many of us have looked around us as we're living out our Christian lives and we're trying to be a follower of Jesus. And we think, oh, that there's no way that I can make a dent in that. I want you to know God has put the weapons of His warfare in your hand. He has put prayer and intercession and His Word and the body of Christ and the gifts that He is going to. Luther wrote, you know, that great hymn of the faith, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which talks about the battle. That we read it a few weeks ago. I read that hymn to you. And all that hymn is, it's just talking about the battle that we're in this world. And it's time to wake up and smell the coffee and see that the battle is raging around us. And God has called on us to war, to battle for others, to pick up the weapons He's put in our hand and to fight the battle. Fight the battle until the death, whatever it takes, till you have expended everything God has put in your hand, every bit of ammunition, everything that He's put in your hand to do in this earth and not run away from it, because you can't run far enough to get away from that. And if you're depending on the whatever, the government or whatever, fill in the blank, to come in there and take care of you, it's not going to happen. If you don't get that today, in our today's world, then hey, man, wake up and look around you. Don't look at what people are saying, politicians, whomever, whatever side of the aisle that they're on. Our hope is not in them. Our hope is not in our governmental system. Our hope is not in any of that stuff. Our hope is only in Jesus. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Now, do you get the dream? See why the Lord gave it to me Thursday night? So I could share it with you today. Here's that cross again. Here we are. the follower of Jesus. And he has given to us the responsibility to take up our cross and follow him. We see that he has given us, and we talked about all this, that as we think about in this direction, and young people, let me say something to you. You teenagers, the world is saying laugh it off. The world is saying, oh, just kind of chuckle your way through it and do this and do that. But I believe God's raising up a generation of young people right now and getting them ready for what is to come in the world. Jesus is coming back. And you get to decide. You get to decide, because he's giving you the opportunity. If you're going to be part of the most exciting, dynamic thing that has ever happened in the history of the world, which is joining him and all that he's about in his coming, if you join him or be against him, it's God and not God. That's for all the rest of us too, but especially for young people. Today, there's an assault on you like there has never been before. As parents and grandparents, we didn't have to go through the assault that you are going through right now. That full court press of all the media, all the stuff. Man, you can punch up one of these little things and you got sin on tap. Whatever. Right there. It's a battle. It's time to embrace it. Now, he has given to us, so I want you to listen closely. He has given us the opportunity for worship, for prayer. He has given to us the privilege of fighting the war. That is warfare. Do you believe there's a battle that's greater than what you can see with your eyes? You better believe it is. It's around you. Gave you ample opportunities about that last week. God has given to us spiritual gifts. And then as we relate back to him, he's called on us in prayer. Prayer is a two-way street. Not only do we speak to him, but he speaks to us through prayer. It's a two-way street. That's this axis. This is this up and down, this vertical. He gives us all these ways where he speaks to us. He speaks to us, I've given you an example this morning, through dreams. He speaks to us through other people, through circumstances. But all of it must go through the filter of the Word of God. If it comes in conflict with this Word, it's wrong. Always. Your experience never trumps God's Word. I don't care how much you felt it. I don't care how good it was. Wrong. Zip. Zero. Nada. Doesn't happen. It must always come through the Word. Now, I said last week we would look at this axis. He also has given us, as we relate to him, he has called on us to relate to other people. And there are two kinds of people we relate to. You know who they are? Believers and non-believers. Here you go. How do we relate to believers? The scripture talks about, we see all that. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how we're a part of the fellowship, the body of Jesus on this earth that has different parts. Uses that word, that fancy word, koinonia, the fellowship of the body as we come together, and we need each other. Do you need one another? How is it when you get out there by yourself? Lonely. Lonely. You become an easy target for the evil one to pick you off. But boy, when you have the comfort of the body, the body of Jesus that can help you, that can walk with you. And Scripture talks about, and one of the verbs it uses in 1 Corinthians 12 is the word edify, to build up one another, not tear one another down. So we have this privilege and responsibility because the Scripture says that we're supposed to be together with other believers. And if we're not, then, hey, we're missing out on a big blessing. And we've placed ourselves out from under the cover of God. But He's put us together, this body, and we desperately need each other. Let me tell you, I need you, and you need me. And we're going to spend forever together. And God's just kind of tuning us up, getting us ready for that. So that's one relationship, responsibility to believers. But then He's also given us a responsibility to unbelievers. Now, what does that look like? Well, if you call this one fellowship, then I guess you need to call this one evangelism. Evangelism, just a fancy word for using His name, the evangel, Jesus, making sure that people know about Him, where we witness. Do you know that the word witness in the New Testament comes from the word martyr? Did you know that? Martus is the word for witness. Martus means martyr. It means you give yourself up for others. Let me tell you, right now, in Muslim countries and other countries, but especially I've been reading about some Muslim countries, there are people, Christians, who are laying down their lives so that other people can know about Jesus. They are literally laying themselves down so they can become the bridge by which others come to Jesus. Whew. But who are they following when they do that? Yeshua, Jesus. Because they're following His example. Because what did He do? He laid down His life. Now, just as surely as we're praying for these people here, and we're taking these people before the Lord, we should also be praying for these people here. How many of these are in your life? Say that again.
A lot.
A lot? Can't count them, can you? But God's called us to engage with them. He's called us to be an influence. He's called us to be the sweet savor of heaven. He's called us to smell like Jesus. Not stink it up, but smell like Jesus. Any perfect people here? Well, you probably knew someone that was perfect at one time. When you're being that Philadelphia attorney that you're talking about someone in your family, you're probably describing them as perfect. We know that they're not. God's given you influence. He's called you to be in the game. Be in the game with people. So if you're going to be His follower, here's what it's about. It's about worshiping Him. It's about hearing His voice and you following Him with the in His Word, seeing that and being in relationship with Him. That takes time to do this. But you know, it also takes time to do this, doesn't it? Back and forth. We can stay inside here and do a lot of navel gazing and tell each other how good we are and all that stuff. And this part of this cross never exists, right? But God's called us. He has thrown us out. Matthew 9 says that. Therefore, pray ye that Lord of the harvest, that He may throw you out into His harvest field. Literally, it's the phrase ek balo, out of and to throw, like you throw a ball. throw you out into the harvest field. And you may think those circumstances come along in your life where, oh God, why you put me in the middle of this? But well, it might be because that you're sitting very comfortably in a bunch of believers and He's trying his best to get you out of your comfort zone into a place where you can be salt and light with the people around you, with the basics of the gospel. Because once you've met Jesus, you have tremendous spiritual knowledge. Did you know that? Because you have a tremendous Holy Spirit that has come to indwell you. And you have more than most of the world. Most of the world that today, where do people in this category who die without Jesus, what happens to them? They go to an eternal, everlasting separation from God called hell. What is he about? If you're going to be a follower, it's time to be a follower. It's time to get involved in the battle. It's time to realize that people out there, they're not your enemy. The evil one and all his minions that possess them are your enemy. What's going to change them? The power of God. What if Paul had not come to know Jesus? Let's bow our heads. I don't know what you heard today. But I'm going to pray one of them fertilizing prayers right now. Lord, I'm praying right now that what you've spoken through me today and through this worship, through the testimony that we've heard today, through all that we've experienced and we've gathered here together today, what you have spoken will find fertile soil in our hearts. And I'm asking you, Lord, everything that is spoken today that is not of you will drop to the ground with no effect. Is remaining in an attitude of prayer. Have you received Jesus in your life? Do you know that you know that you know that you belong to him? If you don't, if you've never done business with him today, I'd encourage you. Jesus loves you. He wants you to walk with him. He loved you enough to step down out of heaven and step in the flesh and die in your place on a cross. He loves you that much. And the second question is, are you following him? Knowing him, making him known. Are you following him? He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. I've shown you the cross that you need to take up. This cross is a beautiful picture of our discipleship in him. So what's God saying to you today? We'll open the altar, ask our pastors if they would come, life group leaders take the places around the side. The altar's open for you today. Come, respond to him.
Shepherd, your sheep are weary, cold and tired, battered and bruised and torn. Shepherd, your sheep are hungry. We got what we wanted, but we still need something more. We need to hear your voice. Whatever you might say, we just need to hear your voice. Show us the way. Shepherd, your sheep are lost. We chased our ones that we thought were needs. Now we can't get home. Shepherd, your sheep are longing. We ate and we ran and we played and we danced, but we're empty, Lord. We need to hear your voice. Whatever you might say, we just need to hear your voice. Show us the way.
What can I do on a daily basis? I can open this book every day and I can hear God's word speaking to me. I can pray and I can bring people that I know He's putting on my heart to pray for them. I can confess my sin to the Lord. I can be clean before Him. And then I can ask Him to speak to me and take a journal and write it down so I won't forget it. What can I do? I can then be salt and light to the people, everybody that I come in contact with. I can have fellowship with believers. I can worship the Lord. I can reach out to unbelievers through my life. Let me tell you, they're already there. You don't have to go seek them out. They're already in your life, these people. That's what you can do. Practical steps. You can do that every single day. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Look this way, if you will. We'd sure like to get those cards from you right now. If you filled out one of those cards, if you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back, and there are two baskets up here. We'd like to get those cards, and if you have an offering to bring, you can bring that at this time.
We need your voice, whatever you might say, we just need to hear your voice. Show us the way. Shepherd, these sheep are yours. Try to begin, but we don't want to anymore.
Lord, spoken anything to you today? I feel like He's done a tap dance, not just on my neck, but all over me. He's turning me every way but loose right now. Let's be listening and be obedient. We need to be praying for Israel right now. Be praying for what's going on in the world right now. It is. These are times when people, leaders of nations, need to be listening to what God says and not their own understanding. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray for that right now. I want to send you out. Baseball camp this afternoon. Come on out. Join us. Be a part of that. But I send you out today as followers of Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, under the authority of our Father. He has given to you the authority to live out the life of Christ. Challenge you to do it. Go in Jesus' name.